It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret. For 4 days each summer, a one-mile strip in Appleton fills up with musicians who play hundreds of sets of original music. This year's Mile of Music Festival kicks off today. Event organizers say these are musicians you don't know, but you should. Last year, it included the performer you're hearing now, Ben Mulwana, who grew up in Wisconsin. To capture the spirit of Mile of Music, PBS Wisconsin released a concert documentary that offers a front-row seat to the Community Music Festival with tons of footage from last year's event. It's available online at pbswisconsin.org. Colin Crowley is senior multimedia producer and lead producer on the Mile of Music concert documentary. Colin, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thanks for having me.
You set out to make what you're calling a concert documentary, not a documentary concerts.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that? What are you hoping to achieve here?
What I mean is, the term documentary can be a loaded term these days. We're used to seeing like true crime documentaries and you know, with all the streaming services, things that get very nitty gritty into an issue. This is a concert film. We wanted to tell the story of the festival, but we thought it was best to tell the story by letting the music tell the story. So what viewers are going to see is really a series of performances, typical to what they would find if they attended Mile of Music, with just enough context to let them know what they're seeing.
And what I took away, one of the things I took away from the concert documentary is this is a really special music festival.
It is.
Even people who may be regular attendees at different festivals, this is something I think unique. Can you just set the stage for us? The stage is.
It is. It's something you really have to be there to experience. So imagine College Avenue in downtown Appleton is kind of like the main street. It's the main drag, and that's where there are a lot of bars and restaurants and coffee shops and stores. And what the Mile of Music Festival does is different than other festivals where you'd maybe have one main stage out in a field, people camping out. What they do is they turn the entire downtown and all of College Avenue into a series of over 35 venues. So you can show up in Appleton during the festival and simply walk up and down College Avenue. You can go into a coffee shop and see a performer in there. You can go across the street into a bar and see a loud rock band. You can go a little further down to Houdini Plaza, and there's a big stage, and there will be a crowd outside there. And it's all happening simultaneously. You know, something like 600 shows happen over the course of 4 days. And as a viewer, it's a choose-your-own-adventure. You kind of pick the variety that you want to experience.
And my cover charge as I'm walking into all these shows?
Everything's completely free. So, you know, there's snacks and adult beverages and all sorts of things, merchandise to spend your money on, but you don't have to pay a cover charge at any show.
And that's something that struck me is it seems like they really work hard to remove barriers to entry, right? They want to make it so that people check out bands.
That's right.
Stumble onto something maybe that they love, and if they don't love this one, well, maybe next door.
Yeah, it gives you the freedom to kind of choose and to take chances. So if you're paying $15 to see a band, you're going to go in, you say, well, I've spent $15, I'm going to stick it out, whether you like it or not. And it's going to mean you have to limit the amount of music you can see. But without the cover charges, you can go in. Maybe you love what you're seeing, but okay, 20 minutes is enough. I'm going to bounce across the street and see something else. So really, you can see a lot of music in a little bit of time.
And we see a lot of music in a little bit of time in the documentary. One thing that I loved is, you know, in some cases, we get a little taste of a band here and there, but very often, you let a whole song roll, which we don't always get in a documentary.
That's a good point. So do you remember watching like these, you know, I grew up in the 90s. So in the 90s, there were a lot of documentaries about like 60s music and music in the 70s. And I always liken it to maybe they'd show Jimi Hendrix on stage for 20 seconds and then it would cut to a talking head telling you why Jimi Hendrix is so important. And my response as a fan and a viewer is always like, I just want to see this guy play. Just let me hear the music. So it was one of my pet peeves is documentaries about music that don't let you listen to the music. So in this project, we really put the music front and the talking is a little bit less.
Talk about filming this music because your cameras are in key locations. Yeah. The recordings are great. What went into capturing these band moments?
So we knew that in order to explain and communicate and give the experience of Mile of Music, we had to show variety. So what we did is we created two small crews with about 3 to 5 camera operators each. These are all PBS employees. We didn't hire anyone else for this. So we all came together for that weekend. And we made a schedule, and we just kind of each leapfrogged each other up and down College Avenue and ended up shooting 30 shows in 3 days. And then on top of that, our audio engineers developed a little mobile recording studio that they could plug into the boards and get clean multi-track recordings from each live performance that they could then re-edit in post-production to really give the feel of that live sound.
It shows, it pays off in the sound. Here's why I'm glad I'm not you. Mm. 30 shows.
Yeah.
60-minute documentary.
Yes.
How hard was it to narrow down which songs made it into this product?
It was extremely hard, but we did find when we would go into each performance, there was always a standout number. Each performer has a certain energy, and sometimes the energy would change throughout the set. So what we tried to do was create a variety of, you know, some slower songs, some mid-tempo songs, mix that with some hard rock songs coming in, and kind of create a musical journey for the viewer that mimics the musical journey that you would have as an attendee of the festival.
Did you have, I know it might be hard to pick just one, did you have a favorite moment at Mile of Music as you were filming this?
Well, I did, and it goes to my personal taste. Like, again, I'm a 90s kid. I like hard rock music with loud guitars and, you know, a sense of humor. And there was a band from Milwaukee that played on the Friday night called Diet Light. Like you tell the beater, we talk to the GM
of the plan. All right, Chadwicks, I want to see you let loose. One, two, three, four.
I loved them. I hadn't heard them before the documentary.
And that was one of these shows where, as videographers, we were allowed to break all the rules. We just stood up front. These guys are jumping off amps, swinging their guitars around. And we were able to move our cameras, whip pans, shaky handheld shots that kind of added to the feel of what it's like to be in the audience at a packed rock club seeing a great rock band from Milwaukee.
We're talking about a new concert documentary about the Mile of Music Festival in Appleton. Lead producer Colin Crowley is with us from PBS Wisconsin. Now, the music is front and center here, but we do get some talking and some behind the scenes. Let's start with the musicians themselves. Mm-hmm. It seems like they really like this festival, and part of that is what the festival is doing to make it a happy place for musicians. What did you learn?
So what I learned is the community of Appleton really comes together to put this concept of Midwest nice into action. And they do that not only by being good receptive audiences, but also there are local healthcare providers that provide things like dental cleanings, dermatology, chiropractic, massage therapy, haircuts, audiology, ear testing. And they provide this all for free to these touring musicians, a lot of whom probably don't have the opportunity to have that, you know, that kind of treatment because they're on the road all the time.
Right. When, like, bands on tour at that level in particular may not have a shower. Right?
It could be earplug fittings
and dental appointments. And that's pretty amazing.
And they get given nice hotel rooms. They get fed extremely well. And they just come, you know, a lot of them haven't spent a lot of time in the Fox Valley of Wisconsin. And they come here and it's not a place they would have imagined coming as touring musicians. And then they come here and they're treated like rock stars.
And that's another thing that strikes me about Mile of Music. You know, sometimes the festival approach in different festivals, and there's nothing wrong with this, is what's the biggest act? What are the biggest names? Who are our headliners?
That's right.
These are good bands, but they're not, you know, household names, or at least not yet. Could you talk about the kinds of bands that end up showing up at Mile?
Yeah, it's all over. There's no headliners. And I think you see that in the concert documentary. It's not like there's one act that we're building up to. It's just a series of acts. But you get everything from acoustic singer-songwriters to bluegrass trios to heavy metal bands to punk bands to, you know, gypsy folk, everything in between.
Now, sometimes at a festival, the setting is great for the big, loud rock band.
Yeah.
It's not awesome for, you know, the two people with acoustic guitars, right? And they have these listening rooms that you take us into in the documentary. Yeah. Tell us about the philosophy there.
The idea of a listening room, which I came to learn as I was researching this, is to provide, to curate a venue for singer-songwriters, for duos, trios, anything without a drum set. So the idea is that maybe you like seeing a loud rock band in a loud club, and that's fine. But maybe in the course of those 4 days, you want to just take a break and sit and be able to listen to the words the singer is saying, really get the nuances of their playing. So listening rooms ask the audiences to do just that, to listen and to not talk. There's still drinks available in a lot of them, so it's not, it's still a very fun, upbeat atmosphere, but it's just the attention is on the artist and the music.
You also zoom in on some of the volunteers and the services they're providing. There's some local education. What are some of the things that go beyond just those performances?
There's a whole series of music education workshops, and these are really great for children because you don't think of bringing your kids to a music festival, but this makes that possible. So they'll do, you know, in partnership with Lawrence University and the music educators there and a whole community organization, they provide workshops like you know, drumming workshops, Indonesian gamelan, different percussion, how to play ukulele. So one of the shots you see in the show is about, you know, 50 people learning to play their first song on ukulele. So those are things that get the public involved and also give them a greater appreciation for what goes into making music.
You mentioned not cutting away from the music and going to that talking head. At one point where you did that in the documentary stood out to me in a really good way. I don't remember the band name right now. It's a drummer and a guitarist, and I'm hearing the drums, hearing the guitar.
Illiterate Light.
And I'm hearing a bass there, and I'm like, what are they doing?
Right.
And you cut away, and they talk about, and you show, well, I've got a synthesizer that I control with foot pedals here. Talk about that eye that gives us that insight to things that at least people like me might be wondering.
That's this amazing band, a duo from Virginia called Illiterate Light, and they have a unique setup where the drummer stands up and plays the drum standing up, and the guitarist singer plays a bass synthesizer with his foot, kind of like an organ pedal. And there were several acts like that where we thought like it would be great to get the artist's perspective and explanation on what they're doing and what they try to bring to audiences. That was one question I asked every artist is, okay, we've talked a lot about what Mile of Music brings to you. What are you bringing to Mile of Music?
There's a lot of great for people who might be scared off by the loud rock idea. A lot of folk, as we mentioned, a lot of what I guess I'd loosely call Americana there too. Who are some of the acts that stood out to you there?
There's a wonderful band from another Milwaukee band, and they're kind of a bluegrass trio called Valley Fox.
Well, the leaves on the trees in the summertime breeze, all on the ground come fall. A bird in spring doesn't wait to sing. She don't want me at all. No, she don't want me at all. Throw the fella out the window doesn't mean it's gonna end though. Dead bird's got a friend, so she ain't gonna sing anymore.
Mandolin, bass, guitar, and vocals. There was a really great duo who came all the way from Australia called Minor Gold. And they are a male-female duo, and they got kind of this like Kenny and Dolly vibe or like California 1970s acoustic, almost country-type duets that I really appreciated.
Now, you, I understand, have been in bands, as have I. I've never played a Mile of Music.
Me neither.
Like, going there as a band guy, did you have a, like, well, maybe I should try to figure out a way to play here someday?
I am firmly an amateur musician. Uh-huh. I leave that to the professionals. And what I can do best is, you know, operate a camera, edit footage, and kind of give direction to help musicians get a visual product out of their performances.
Now, the 2025 Mile of Music is coming up. Are you thinking, hey, I'm going back there, but just as a fan and audience member this time so I can just focus on watching the music?
Just yesterday, I booked two hotel rooms.
Nice.
For Friday and Saturday night, I'm going up there with my family. I'm leaving the camera at home, and I'm going to go and see as many shows as I can.
The documentary, of course, just coming out, all the online material. Just leave us with a taste of what people are going to take away when they watch the documentary, the just debuting documentary.
What you're going to take away is we really try to recreate the experience of the variety of both musicians, genres of music, and the variety of venues that you can watch music in if you attend Mile of Music.
And does this just in general, apart from going to Appleton to Mile, does this give you a hankering to just go see more live local music?
It does. You know, even in researching for this, we had to listen to a lot of recorded music, and it just does not prepare you for how good live performance is. And I always say, like, I don't care what your tastes are or what you think when you hear a recorded song. It's very hard to dislike live music.
Colin, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for sharing this with us.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
Colin Crowley is senior multimedia producer for PBS Wisconsin and lead producer on the Mile of Music concert documentary. It's streaming online, and you can find an additional 9 hours of performances at pbswisconsin.org. And this year's Mile of Music runs today through the weekend, and I'll be there. I'll be the MC at the Lawrence Memorial Chapel stage on Saturday and Sunday. WPR will host that stage through the event. Stop by to say hi and grab some WPR swag. To learn more, go to WPR.org/presents. We'll leave you with another band featured in the documentary. This is Leon Timbo and the Family Band.
You're not alone. Come here and take my hand. Take my hand. You got to hold on. Life is better when you get your friends together. You got to hold on. Yep. Let the love fill the room. Hey, you got to hold on. Life is better when you get your friends. You got to hold on. Hey, let them go talk to